Hello, and welcome to this half hour with Rallitz Baptist Church. My name is Brother Dwayne Cook, and I'm pastor here at Rallitz, and I'd like to invite you and your family to come join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for our Sunday school program, or every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for our worship service, or maybe you could come be with us on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our weekly Bible study. I want you to know you're invited to all those things, and we'd love to have you come and join with us as we worship the Lord God Almighty. I'd just like to take just a moment to wish happy birthday to some folks that are coming up over the course of next week. Of course, today, Thursday, February the 4th, Mr. Paul Meredith is celebrating a birthday. So we definitely want to be praying for Paul and wish him happy birthday when you see him out. Now, also on Monday, the 8th, is Camille Spradlin's birthday. Happy birthday, Camille. We love you very much, and we hope that you have a wonderful birthday. Also, Mrs. Joyce Brown. Miss Joyce Brown celebrating a birthday Monday with Camille. And Wednesday the 10th, Mr. Matthew Luchek, I believe, will be celebrating the big 01. And so we thank God for those families. Thank God for all those folks that God's put in our lives that have crossed our paths as we go down the road that God has made for us. And I thank God for those folks. I want to share with you a little bit. I know we've been looking at through the book of Philippians, but if we could take just a moment, we'll start back up next week maybe with Philippians chapter 2. But I want to share with you what we shared Sunday here at Rallitz. We had a good meeting. I was glad we had church. But a lot of us thought about the weather maybe would be too harsh, that maybe we ought to cancel, but we thought we could go ahead and have church and end up having a lot of nice visitors. And so great to have so many of our home folks as well as so many visitors with us, and it was just a wonderful day of worship in the Lord. And I shared this verse with them, Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. As we pass around cards where I work in a factory there near Bowling Green, and every once in a while some tragedy will happen, or maybe a good thing, you know. We pass around a card, and a lot of us will sign that card, and we will write some wishes in that card, and then we'll make sure somebody gets that to the person who's grieving or hurting, or maybe just they had a child. And most usually I'll write my name and God bless you, and then I'll put Romans 8:28. It's a verse that I learned a long time ago. My good friend, Brother Robbie Ward, up at Pleasant Valley, I remember him quoting this verse so often, and I'd go back and look at it, and it's always been a comfort to me, this verse has. It's always been a way that I've coped with a lot of things in my life, because I know that God has a bigger plan in my life than what a lot of people can see, and I just rely upon Him so much. Romans 8:28 says this, "And we know," K-N-O-W, "and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." Now, I want you to think about as you go into a pharmacy, and you go into that pharmacy to buy maybe a prescription the doctor has wrote out for you. Did you know that in that pharmacy there are many, many drugs there that would do you harm? Many of those things that you'll find in that pharmacy would actually poison you if you were to take them on their own. And yet that pharmacist has the education and the knowledge to mix those things together and to make them into a drug that will benefit you for whatever it is that's ailing you. Did you know that God works much like that in our lives, that He takes a lot of these things that normally the world would see as poison, the world would see as tragedy, the world would see as heartache and turmoil, and He mixes those things together, and God comes up with a perfect formula to ensure that you and I are benefiting from these things that happen in our lives. Did you know that there is nothing that can happen to a God-fearing Christian that God cannot use to work out for the best in this world? I want you to know that God takes these things and He works them not only for your good, but for His glory. And I'm glad today that the Bible tells us we can know with certainty. We know. I'm glad that it's not any ifs, any ands, or any buts. No matter how bad, no matter what's happening, that God can work it for our good. God can work it to His glory. I like what F.B. Meyer said. F.B. Meyer was a preacher for another generation, but he said something so wonderful one day that I want to share that with you. He said, "If any promise of God should fail, then the universe would rock with the awful message that God could lie. Friend, aren't you glad today that God cannot lie? That in all things, I like that now, not only in the certainty, but in the completeness of it. Not only can you K-N-O-W know, not only can you be sure of the certainty of God's promise right here, but it's also a complete promise. No part of it has been left out. All things. Now, it does not say most things or some things or almost all things, but all things. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad of that? And that's something to be, that's something that we can take to the bank with us today, folks. It's something we don't have to be worried or nervous about, but the Bible has told us all things, everything. It encompasses all that we know and all that we do in every aspect of our lives. God is working. How wonderful, how joyous it is to know that God cares for you and He's using all things to work together for the good of those that love Him. Listen, we've been called according to His purpose. Now that's important today because God's purpose is something I'm going to share with you toward the end, that God has a purpose for your life and you've been called to do something wonderful, wonderful in His purposes. So I want you to think about, what are some of these all things? Well, first of all, the sweet things in life work for God. My wife, Saturday, we were snowed in, and my wonderful wife, she cooked all day, yes, all day Saturday. And I thought how sweet it was. And God was using her to work in my life and how God has ministered to so many good men through the love of a Christian woman. You know, I've always told the young men here at Rallets, I said, guys, you better be careful when you start dating these little Baptist girls, because if you're not, you'll end up getting saved. Hey, I thank God that He put a good Christian woman in my life, and He's used that sweet woman to work for the good of my life. Romans chapter 2 verse 4 says the goodness of God leads us to repentance. Don't forget that verse now, friend. The goodness of God leads us to repentance. God is so good. God is so wonderful. He's so marvelous working in this world. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Now listen, not only the sweet things, but the sorrowful things as well. Do you have a broken heart today? Well, you say, is that good? No, I don't think that's good. But God will work it for the good. God will be glorified in your broken heart. Did you know that? How do I know? Well, the Bible tells me so. So many things can be learned from that old song, aren't they? How do I know? The Bible tells me so. Listen, Jeremiah chapter 24, verse 5. Mark this down. This is something that can help you later. Jeremiah 24, verse 5 says, I acknowledge them that have been carried away for their good. Now, what's going on here is that Israel had been carried away off into exile because of their sins. And Jeremiah was simply saying, I know this could be used for their good. If Russia took over America and exiled us over into that area, over into that country, and we woke up this morning and we found ourselves in Siberia, which it's been about like that over the past week, but if we found ourselves in Siberia, we would say, this is not good. I don't feel like this has been anything that's going to work out for my glory. But friends, it will. God can take that and work it for our good and for His glory. And so Israel, as they were carried away by the Babylonian Empire, as Jerusalem was left just crushed and in rubble, as Jerusalem was left as a place of nothing but tears and sorrow, Jeremiah could make the amazing statement that I know that they've been carried away for their good. You know, Jeremiah knew that those troubles, that those turmoils, that strife, that thing was going to be used in order to get Israel to once again acknowledge God as they ought to be, as the people of God ought to acknowledge that He is God. You know, the Bible says that a man is a fool who says in his heart that there is no God. And I believe that. I believe everything the Bible says, but I think an even greater fool, now don't miss this, watch this, an even greater fool would be a man that would say there is a God and I don't care what he has to say. Oh my! But how many of us that would amen that statement act as if there is a God and we don't care what he has to say? Folks, I believe in America today we've been cursed with blessings. We've been cursed with blessings. Every time God blesses this nation, we simply grow more arrogant. I believe that God is about to bless us with some cursings. I believe God's about to bless us with some cursings that'll draw us as a nation back to Him. Now you think of David, King David, a man after God's own heart. David strayed from God and God made him sick to get his attention. Mark this verse down, Psalm 119, verse 71. Then David wrote, "It is good for me that I've been afflicted." Now folks, listen, that takes a lot of faith. David said, "It's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes." Have you ever thanked God for your hardships? Have you ever said, "Oh God, thank you for the sickness. God, thank you for the suffering. Thank you for the adversity. Thank you for the heartache. Thank you, Lord, for these things that you placed in my life that make me, watch this, grow more dependent upon you." How wonderful is that, friend? We must thank God for things that come into our lives that cause us to be more dependent upon Him. How wonderful it is to grow dependent upon God. You know, I like what Adrian Rogers said. Dr. Adrian Rogers, he made a statement one time. He said, "You never see as clearly as when you look through eyes washed in tears of faith." Now, friend, listen. When you're on your back, when the world knocks you on your back, it is then that you're looking up to God. Look at Joseph in the book of Genesis. Joseph was sold as a slave. Joseph was left in a pit. Joseph was lied about and he left to die. He locked in a prison, had to run from another man's wife. But Joseph's afflictions worked for his advancement. Can you use your afflictions to your advancement? Yes, if you love God. I love what Joseph said to his brothers, the very men that had done him so wrong in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. Joseph makes this amazing statement. He says, what you intended for evil, what the world intends for evil towards you, God worked for the good. Aren't you glad today that God takes things that are intended for evil towards you and He works them for good? Do you have an enemy? Well, do you? Do you have an enemy? Do you have someone who every time they pat you on the back, they've got a knife in their hand? Well, listen, friend, you just keep on loving God because all things work together for good to those that love God. I remember in 2 Chronicles 33 about King Manasseh, the evilest king that Israel had ever seen, and God carried him away. God had the Philistines came in and they carried him away, and the Bible says they took hooks and put in his nose and led him away. And Manasseh got into that land of exile and he prayed to God. He repented of his sins and God allowed him to come back into that town of Jerusalem. And friend, for King Manasseh, his iron chains did him more good than a golden crown. And so often in our lives, we can learn much more from the sick bed than we can from the sermon. And how many times in your life can you look back over what God has done and say, "You know, I believe those iron chains did me more good than a golden crown ever would have. I'm glad today that God can take the sweet things and work them for good. He can take the sorrowful things and work them for good." And friend, not only that, he can take the satanic things and work them for good. The Apostle Paul was given a messenger of Satan, which we would say is horrible, but God used it to teach Paul about grace. So many times old Satan has thought he had the upper hand, and it turns out he was simply a puppet on the strings of God's eternal promises. On the strings of God's eternal promises. Satan has always just been a pawn. I had a person ask me one time, "Well, why don't God just kill Satan? Why don't God just take Satan out of this world?" Because, friend, God is using the devices of Satan in order to glorify Himself. Every time Satan thinks he gets the upper hand, God trumps it. God brings it about for good, and God will bring it about to glorify Himself. I remember a great illustration about this. There was once a widow lady who found herself just distraught or found herself in a hard, hard place. As a matter of fact, she'd gotten down to the point where she didn't even have any groceries left in her home. And that widow lady began to cry out. She loved Jesus. She loved God. She said, "Oh, Jesus, I've promised you for all the things in my life. I've promised you to give me everything that I've ever needed. And now, dear Lord, I come to you once again. All I need is some groceries. groceries to put in my cupboard. I don't want to go hungry. I don't want to be left without these things. All I need, dear Lord, is a few things to fix until I can get by to a better day. Would you please hear my prayer, dear Lord? And you know that widow lady, she had a neighbor, and he didn't love God. As a matter of fact, he'd grown tired of Christians. He'd heard all these Christians. He said in his heart, I'm sick of the way these Christians always give glory to God. I'm sick of the way they always are talking about how God supplies their every needs. And he said in his heart, I'm going to teach this lady a lesson about where really things come from. And he went out and he bought a bountiful basket full of groceries. And he went up there on the porch and he put them in front of her door and he knocked on her door and he run over to the side of the porch there by the bushes. And the lady came out and she saw this bountiful basket full of groceries. And right there, she raised her arms to heaven and she said, oh, Jesus, thank you so much. You've provided for me once again. What a terrific miracle that you've wrought. And I'll be sure to tell the world. I'll shout it from the rooftops about how good God has been to me. And when the neighbor heard these things, he jumped out there in the yard. He said, you old fool. He said, I provided you with these groceries. God didn't do it. I gave them to you. I'm the one you should be thanking for these groceries. And the old widow lady looked at him for just a moment. And she raised her arms again. And she said, oh God, I thank you for this great miracle that you've worked. And I thank you. You made the old devil have to pay for them. Friend, listen. Even in the satanic things, God can work good. There's a God who is over all. Even the suffering from sin brings glory to God. You remember Simon Peter's sin? He denied Jesus, but Jesus restored him. And now, in an odd way, his failure helps you and I today. Feed the sheep, Jesus told him, and Peter did that. And it's a help to us. Pharaoh said all the male children of Israel were to be killed. Now, what made Pharaoh's daughter, who could have been bathing in a marble tub, go to the Nile? Maybe she remembered a swimming hole she had when she was a little girl. I don't know. But God worked something that day. And a baby's cry, Moses in a basket, brought down the mightiest nation on earth in that time. All things, please, I hope you're getting this. All things work together for good. There's a story told about Martin Luther. You know the great reformer. You know the man that had so much to do with our Protestant beliefs now. Martin Luther fought depression. And Martin Luther fought a great, great depressing time in his life. And his wife's name was Katrinka. And the story is told about a time when Martin Luther was in a deep, deep depression. And for weeks, he just laid around the house and he hadn't done anything. He hadn't studied his Bible. He'd just sort of give up hope about life. And the story is told that he called his beautiful wife, he called her Kathy. Then one day she went and she put on a black dress. She put on some black gloves. She put on a black veil and she walked into his room. And Martin Luther said, Kathy, who has died? Who has passed away? And she looked at him and she said, Martin, haven't you heard? God is dead. He said, what did you say? She said, Martin, God is dead. He looked at her and he said, Kathy, that is blasphemy for you to say. And she said, yes, and it's blasphemy for your actions to say that God is dead. It's just as much blasphemy as it is for someone to say that as for you to act like it and for the world to look around at you and say Martin Luther has decided that God is dead. And oh, something pierced his heart. And he said, oh God, it's true. I've lived that way. And the story is told that he went down from that attic room and he began to write. He began to write this great and mighty hymn. I like it so much. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate on earth is not his equal. But listen to this, he hymns his great hymn with this: God's truth abideth still, his kingdom is forever. And Martin Luther come out of that depression. And that depression was worked together for them that love God. Now, friend, if that's true, then the reverse is also true. All things work together for evil to those who do not love God. There's a condition on that verse. Now, if you don't love God, it may be dangerous for you to come to church. Now I want you to remember Mark chapter 6, verse 11. And Jesus told them to go out and preach unto the villages. And if that preaching was received, it was wonderful. But if it wasn't, that they were shake the dust off of their feet. And that dust would bear witness or testimony to the fact they turned down God. Listen, even the best thing I know, and that's Jesus Himself, will work against those who do not love God. If you receive Jesus, He's wonderful. There's nothing ever better. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He is that balm in Gilead. He's all those things that He ever promised and so much more. Oh, if you receive Jesus, He is the most wonderful thing this world has ever seen. But if you don't, He's the judge. If you don't receive Jesus, He's what keeps you out of heaven. Jesus is the door. He's the opening for some, and He's what keeps others out. For those that love Him, He says, come to Me. And for those who don't, His holiness and His righteousness scream, you may not enter in. Jesus is the door. What about the resurrection? Is that good? Oh, yes. There's nothing that had ever been any greater. And if you love God, it's a wonderful thing because of Jesus' resurrection. You and I, too, will be resurrected. But if you don't love God, then death will not hide you from the judgment that's to come. You can't lay down in a grave and pull the dirt up over yourself and hope to hide from God. Because not only do those that love the Lord will be resurrected, but those that don't, and they'll be resurrected under the resurrection of death. And death won't hide them from the judgment that's to come. What is the good, though? I want you to be able to see that as I close. I want you to think about what is the good that comes from all this. What is working toward that good? Well, He answered it right there at the end. For he that conforms to the image of His Son. Verse 29. What is the purpose? It says, who are called according to His purpose. Well, He doesn't leave you without answer. Right there in verse 29. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. Friend, that's the goal of Christianity. That ought to be the goal that you and I have in life. I want to be conformed to the image of His Son. I want you to be also. It's not to make us healthy, not to make us wealthy or happy, but to make you like Jesus. God's not finished with you yet. He has purpose for you in this world. Let me close with this. Let me end with this, friend. Satan always gives his best the very first thing. And then it dwindles down and it becomes nothing more than a shadow. Nothing more than a cruel, cruel mirage of good things. Satan tries to fool you with first. But God saves His best for last. Is that true in your life? Have you got something far better to look forward to than you ever had here on this earth? I hope that's true for you. I hope you're living and desiring what God has saved for last. Will you close them in a word of prayer? Father, today we come before You humbly as we know how, thanking You, dear Lord, for the great, great blessings that You've wrought in this old world. Father, I thank You that You've took all things and You've worked them together for good to those that love You. And that, Father, Your eternal purposes in heaven are simply to conform us into the image of Your Son. And Father, I pray that You might help establish us here on this earth, that we might be mighty witnesses of the great things that You've done in our heart. Let it begin within us, dear Lord. Father, I pray that a great and mighty revival might break out across our county, across our towns, across our nation. And that, Lord, we'll look back upon this time of tragedy, the times of darkness, the times, dear God, when we thought there'd be no escape, and say, those things work together for good. And, Lord, I just want to ask that You'll help strengthen the brethren, that You'll bring power back to the pulpits of our nation, and that the church might once again stand for what the church ought to stand for. And that, Lord, the holy Word of God will be spread like wildfire throughout this country. And that, dear Lord, we might once again be able to say that we truly are a nation under God. Thank You, dear Lord, for the cross of Christ. Thank You, dear Lord, for the sacrifice made for our sins. It's in Jesus' name that we pray together. Amen. God bless you, friend, from Raleigh's Baptist Church.